You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with Doing the Word.
Chapter. I'm continuing with what I started on Wednesday evening. For those of you who don't come out on Wednesday evening, if you just got here early enough, you would have got a review of what I started teaching on Wednesday based upon Luke 5, starting at verse 1. And it reads, "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him," or begged him, or insisted, "that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word." Somebody say, "Nevertheless, nevertheless, at thy word." He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. I'm continuing with this subject, doing the word. Doing the word. Or maybe we just shorten it even beyond that. We can just say do the word. But we're talking about doing the word because, as I said on Wednesday, I'm going to review that real quick. I'm just amazed at all the excuses that people have for not doing the word. Well, nobody's doing that today. I know the Bible says that, but nobody's doing that today. Contemporary society, well, nobody, that, or they may say, nobody's getting married today, everybody lives together. Or, divorce is more common today, so, you know, I'll just get divorced. Or, you know, cheating on your wife or having a side chick, hardly ain't nobody being faithful today. So that's what everybody does. And so if we're not careful, we can allow the world to shape the church rather than the church shaping the world. Be not deceived. Never forget, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city set upon the hill that cannot be hid." We used to sing a song years ago. The truth of the matter is, it's really an inaccurate song. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is not the light of the world. Yeah, I just let that sink in case anybody want to dispute that. Jesus is not the light of the world. Study the scriptures. When you study the scriptures, Jesus said, "As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." And then he says, "Ye are the light of the world." So Jesus is not the light of the world. We're supposed to be the light. And then he said, "We're supposed to be a city set upon the hill that cannot be hid." So we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to shine brighter than the world and not blend into the darkness. Are y'all hearing me? There's no sense of having a light if it's not distinctive from the darkness. So God never called the church to blend in with the world. And so we start looking at what's going on in contemporary society or in whatever the culture is today or whatever the dominant culture or the dominant generation is doing. The dominant generation right now are millennials. And you're hearing millennials. Some people don't even know how to say millennials. They call them millenniums. Okay, but if everybody's trying to curtail to the millennials, I heard Don Staley say something that I thought was so profound. Don Staley, of course, the women's basketball coach for USC, she said, everybody keep talking about the millennials, the way they do things, the way the millennials want to do things. She said, us older people got to tell the millennials how they're supposed to do it. And she was saying that in the context of them winning a national championship. She said, if I let them do stuff the way they wanted to do it, we would not have won a national championship. But I had to show the younger people how you're supposed to do it versus how you want to do it. And so God never called the church to just curtail everything we do and build the word around whatever the dominant culture is doing. We're supposed to be different. Be not conformed, but be transformed. Be not conformed, but be transformed. Isaiah 60, 61. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That's going to come to your light. There's gross darkness going to be in the earth, but they're going to come to your light. And so we can't keep talking about what the world is doing, what contemporary society is doing, what we saw, what we heard, what they say. To do the word, it means to look into the law of God, the word of God, what was James called the perfect law of liberty, and conduct your life around it. To do the word, it means that this is what the word says and this is what I do. Our friend, Minister Carol Jones, who's the head of the prayer ministry for World Change International, I heard her teaching one time. She's single, and she said, I don't know if she's sure if it was there or here when she said, God made sex. Sex is good. I'm not married, so the word says I can't have none. You see that went over like a ton of bricks, didn't it? Okay. So it don't matter what I feel. It's what the word says. It doesn't matter whether this is easy for me. It's what the word says. Now, let me bring this into perspective. Because there are Muslims, there are Mormons, there are Jehovah's Witnesses, there are extreme of all types of world religions. They are very disciplined. Amen. The Muslims are supposed to pray five times a day. They pray five times a day. Pastor Marshall told a story one time when she was preaching one time earlier this year, last year. I totally forgot about that. You know, it was in Portland, Maine. I don't know if I was coming back home or going. And I saw this guy in the airport who was staying in the airport. He said, well, my flight not leaving till the morning. The flight been canceled, whatever. And I said, man, come on to my house. I met the man in the airport. I said, come on to my house. And let the guys, I said, sleep in my couch. How many of y'all know you better hear God? Okay. That was before the day of all this terrorism and stuff, okay? I let him come, and Pastor Mark said she woke up to go to the bathroom or something, and the man, and in the middle of the night, man was down his knees. He said, who are you letting this out? Okay? He was a Muslim or whatever, but he was disciplined. And we are Christians. We say we serve the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have Jesus living on the inside of us. We have the Holy Ghost. We save and sanctify and fill with the Holy Ghost. And that with not just a fire, a mighty burning fire. And we got a mind made up that we gonna run on and see what the end gonna be. And yet we have no discipline. Yet we cuss folks out. Yet we always slipping up. Yet we get mad and don't walk in love. And God's saying, at what point do you just say, are you gonna do the word? Now you need to realize it. I'm not talking to the baby Christians today. on those you saved for a long time who still make excuses why you won't do right. Why you won't act right. Why you won't be loving. Well, this is how my family is. But you in a new family now. This is how I was raised. But your mind's supposed to be transformed. But you're supposed to be renewed now, despite how you were raised. This is what the Word says. And it takes discipline to do what the Word says. But the Bible says if you're going to strive for the mastery, if you're going to dominate in any area, you got to be disciplined. If you're going to be a Christian who dominates in life and dominates over sin and dominates all the negative downpull of the world, you got to be disciplined. Amen. An athlete, if he's going to win, he got to be disciplined. Amen. A singer has to be disciplined. Anything you have to do, you got to be disciplined. I can't hang out all night and stay up watching the end of Saturday Night Live every Saturday night. Yeah, go off at 1:30 in the morning or something and think I'm going to be at my best on Sunday morning. Oh, you're talking about that? That's why you're tired. No, you got to be disciplined. So the Word of God is built in promises with inevitable results. Doing the Word is going to produce positive consequences and positive results in your life. And so James 1:25 tells us, I'm moving quick, you got to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. Because if you're a doer, you're going to be blessed in your deed. You're going to be blessed in what? In your deed. Joshua 1:8 tells us that we got to look into the Word, meditate on day and night, observe it to do it. We put it in our mouth, we meditate on it so we can do it. And if we do it, we can make our way prosperous and we can have good success. Amen. So how much we do or don't do of the Word is the real measure of our spiritual maturity. Don't come quoting scriptures to me. Don't reference all the references like you are a walking concordance and don't do the Word. Y'all know, I had a friend, I don't care what the context was, what you were talking about, he could put a scripture in there. I mean, whether it was natural, you know, you know what I'm talking about. What, I ain't talking because you're talking about something in the church, something in the Word. You just, you say, man, that's a nice tree. I tell you, if everyone who hears his words, you're going to be partaking the tree of life. You know, I mean, everything he had a scripture for it, and yet is so undisciplined in his life. So the spiritual maturity is not measured by what you know or what you say. Spiritual maturity is measured by what you do. Don't watch it. Don't tell me how long you've been under the Word. That's the problem. Some of us, we just under that Word, which means the Word on top of you. You need to get that Word, get from under the Word, and get the Word in you and walk it out. That's the proof of spiritual maturity. Our spiritual maturity is measured by what we do, not what we say and what we know. Let me also put this framework around here, because this is not to condemn anybody. I'm not talking about heaven or hell right now. For the sake of this message, there is a heaven and there is a hell. To go to heaven, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart, shall be saved. Okay, you're going to heaven. Amen. If you reject Jesus, you're going to hell. And you go to hell, you got two choices. Either regular or extra crispy. Okay? So, let's just get that settled. We don't go to heaven or hell based on what you do. That's a relief right there. Come on, some of y'all, take a deep breath. Glory to God. I mean, church had us in condemnation based upon, you lied, you're going to hell. Okay? I mean, no, you go to hell based upon whether or not you accepted or rejected Jesus. And now, the process now, God leads you in the earth. So one of the things he said to Moses, he said, I need a remnant in the earth. A remnant. I need people in the earth who represent me. I need people in the earth who look like me. That's the only reason why you're here in the earth, to represent Jesus. Okay? You're not here in the earth trying to work to make heaven your home. I know that's what they told us when I was coming up to church. I'm just trying to run. I'm trying to make heaven my home. Oh, glory to God. Man, there's a lot of work trying to make heaven your home. If you believe on Lord Jesus Christ, receive Jesus, heaven's your home. When you die, you're going to heaven. You're here on the earth to represent God in the earth. So he can have a remnant here of his family to get other folks in the family. Amen. So let me move on. Because if you're going to live by the word, you got to make a decision to go out deeper. Shallow people are not concerned with doing the word. The context of the scripture that we read, Jesus has a great crowd following him. This is his first encounter with Peter, by the way, who at that time is referred to as Simon. And Jesus has this crowd, so he sees these men washing their nets, which means it's early in the morning because they would fish at night. And once the dawn started coming, they would wash their nets and then take the fish that they got. In this case, Peter said, we have not caught any fish. And so they're getting ready to go home. And Jesus says, can you launch out a little bit? And basically he borrows one of Peter's ships as his platform to preach. And then when he finished preaching and teaching, he said, now go on out a little bit further. First time he sent them out. Wow, this is so good. Thank you, Lord. The first time he told them to go out was for him. I need you to go about, Luke, because I need to use your ship. But now I want you to go a little further. When I'm calling you, the reason I'm calling you to go out there further, go deeper, launch out into the deep now, it's not for me, it's for you. See, you need to understand, you doing the word is to benefit you. You're not doing God a favor. He said that I want to bless you. I want to increase you. I want to enlarge you. I want your marriage to be blessed. Your finances to be blessed. Your body to be blessed. And your children to be blessed. And your children's children to be blessed. And your mind to be blessed. That's your soul prospering. So if you're going to do the word, you're going to have to launch out into the deep. They said, Lord, we've caught nothing. And then we caught nothing. We've been out here all night. Our plan, we would be home now if you didn't ask us to use our ship. And now you want to go. Nevertheless, master, meaning they recognize Jesus as a rabbi, as a teacher. Nevertheless, out of respect for you, man of God, out of respect for you, preacher, we'll go out into the deep. Nevertheless, at your word. Not because we feel it. Not because I'm convinced about it. Not because I got a confirmation. But just because you said it. You know, when you love the Lord, you do things just because he said it. Come on now. We all understand that. Those of us who honored our parents, even as young people and as children, certain things we did just because our parents said it. And we honor them, and I know if I honor my parents, the Bible says somewhere I'm supposed to honor my parents, you're going to bless me, my days are going to be long on earth, but you're supposed to listen to your parents. And some of us did it out of fear, because some of y'all, you know, your parents remind you, I would kill you. Okay? And some of us did it out of honor. Really, I was one of those kids, that's why my brothers and sisters, I don't want to go into my traumatic stories of childhood, but I was the one who told everything. I was a snitch. And y'all know snitches get stitches. They gave me stitches. I would tell everything. You know, they were all older than me. We don't have no company if I ain't here. Mom, she had a boy over here. Okay, so they didn't like me. But I just did things because the kids would do things and I would say, Mama told us not to do such a thing. Mom, you're going to get in trouble. And so we can honor our natural parents. The scripture says that. We gave our natural parents reverence. How much more should we give our Heavenly Father reverence? Just by doing what he said. You don't have to agree. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to be convinced just because he said it. Amen. There are things that those who are submitted in this ministry do just because me or the leader of that ministry tells them to do it. There are people supposed to be here at 6 o'clock in the morning. Okay? I ain't going to raise the hand, ask you to raise the hand, those who are supposed to be at 6 o'clock in the morning, and whether they're always on time. That's a whole nother story. But they do it just because they're asked to do it. I'm sure at 5 a.m. their body does not feel like being here at 6 a.m. But just to be in order, just to not make waves, just to be cooperative, I'm just going to do it. How much more should we do the word? See, how people are concerned with doing the word. Look at Psalm 42 and 7. It says, deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of thy water sprouts. All thy waves and billows are gone over me. Deep calleth unto deep. God is calling you to be deeper. God is calling you to be a word person. A word person. This is so good. It's not a person just go around quoting the word. A word person is somebody who lives the word. A word person lives the word when they're not quoting the word. A word person's behavior is governed by the word, whether anyone ever knows that that's why they're doing it. It's because the word says. Deep calling to the deep. If we get made up in our minds and make up our minds, I'm going deeper to be a word person, God will start revealing things to you. Daniel 2:22. It says, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. When you make a decision, God, I want to be a word person. I want to live by your word. God will start giving you revelation and talking to you about deeper things. Listen, there's no sense of God giving you revelation, showing you anything. You ain't going to do it anyway. And you show that you're going to be a word person in deep things by how much you are in the little things. Peter, launch out into the deep. But nevertheless, I don't think this is going to work, Jesus. Nevertheless, ask your word. But the word of God, as I said on Wednesday, has built-in consequences with inevitable results. Built-in consequence with inevitable result. Let me share another example of that I didn't share on Wednesday night. I shared it at noon. How many of y'all know that fruits and vegetables and brands and that kind of stuff is good for you? How many of y'all know that's good for you? Okay? You don't have to understand it. If you eat it, it's just going to work. If you eat fruits and vegetables, there's vegetables and there's nutrients and there's vitamins that are just in the foods, and you don't have to understand it. How the vitamin C going to come out of this orange? You don't have to understand it. Just eat the doggone orange. Well, I don't understand brand. Well, what brand is brand? Why I need brand? Well, when stuff ain't moving, and y'all clogged up, and Roto-Rooter can't even help you, the doctor may say, listen, you need to eat more leafy vegetables, and you need to eat more bran, and maybe even some nuts. It'll keep you moving, you know what I'm saying? Keep you moving. Okay? You don't have to understand it. It works just by doing it. That's how the word of God is. It'll work just by, I don't understand it. But God says, do it. And your life ends up better. Your family ends up better. Your marriage ends up better. Now, you can live your life based on how the word said to have a marriage, or you can watch the Housewives of Atlanta. Do what they do. Do you realize all this drama that you see in people's lives and displayed on television and in your lives comes down to people not doing the word? At the end of the day, it's about not doing the word. If we would live our lives by the word, if husbands would love their wife as Christ loved the church. I told somebody this week, I said, you know, we make that real deep. Wow, Lord, give me revelation. How you love the church. No. He loved the church so much, he laid down his life for the church.
The Bible is the believer's instruction manual. it's not just for good stories, but it tells us how to conduct our lives to be successful. Bishop Herbert Bailey explains that if we're going to have the God kind of life, we have to do the Word. Order this series today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Doing the Word.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.